This morning's Bible verse is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is about page 737 in the Brown Bibles, the first page of the New Testament. And so let's read it. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and following. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Which means, God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. As we prepare for Jesus, which celebrates the birth of, as we prepare to through Advent for Christmas, which celebrates the birth of Jesus, 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, Jesus, was born on this earth as the Son of Men. His mother and father were there. His mother Mary, his father Joseph, Mary's husband. This was in God's plan. As we read in the Bible, all of this was prophesied through the prophets. But even if you say God's plan to Mary and Joseph, this was a sudden and hard to and unpredictable event. It was hard for them to accept. To say that she was pregnant through the Holy Spirit, something that you could hardly believe. If this didn't happen, they would have been an ordinary couple in the midst of their engagement. Yet, instead, so they would have been in the usual kind of mix of hope and uneasiness that couples experience. But Mary and Joseph's marriage would be part of God's amazing plan. Surely, Joseph saw Mary as an angel. When I think about my own engagement, there was no angel in my dreams, but the woman who would be my wife seemed to be an angel to me. This is about 5 years ago when I was assigned here to Megumi Church. There was this angel at the reception desk. The other day at the couple's lunch, we were there and we were able to give our testimony as we listened to the testimony of marriage and raising children. There was an angel who arrived at Ishioka Station. And there were many people who were introduced as angels. I hadn't really known that there were so many angels in this church. My own personal experience was to get married to a woman who was like an angel, and I would bet my life and with all my life try to keep her precious and love her. And I want to continue such a married life. And then this year, we were given a daughter, and we were filled with joy. And now I have two angels in my life. And in that time, we listened to our couples who had preceded us, and we realized that life was not so easy, that our love would be tested. And that we need to learn more about loving. Even with faith, gentleness, and love, there are times that are difficult in every married life. And at this time, I want to go on from these two angels to the angel who appeared at Christmas time to Joseph. And thinking about the hardships that Joseph faced, and about our Lord Jesus, who brought peace and salvation to this world. So let's look at the Bible verse again. This time, Matthew 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. It's not the case that when we say Joseph was righteous, that he was perfect and faultless. Rather, we're saying that he loved God and wished to follow his will. Joseph had faith, and he certainly loved Mary in his gentle way, but he was not perfect or faultless as a human being. And so, through faith and love, what was he able to do? As he was thinking of Mary, the best he could do was to divorce her without anyone knowing, and that's what he decided to do. And so he thought, and as he was thinking about it and worrying about it, he came to that decision. And during his engagement, he had no fleshly union with her, and so it was amazing to him that she was pregnant, and he had only think that she had committed adultery. Perhaps he became angry and was hurt. And in that kind of worry and hurt he was living and had to make this decision. We think to this man there was a very difficult time for him. And there were two choices open to him. First, he could have accused her in court and said that she had had a sexual relationship with another man and therefore needs to be divorced. Another was to quietly give her the divorce papers and so cut their relationship. And so Joseph, in his love and concern for Mary, decided on the latter. And so, worrying and thinking, he made this decision. And so, though he was a righteous person, he had to face such a difficult time, this adversity of his engaged fiancé becoming pregnant through some other agency. Perhaps he wondered how Mary and her child would fare after the divorce. I'm sure he had such a worry, being a righteous man and in love with his wife or his fiancé. Really, this is the kind of problem that there's no good answer. And I don't think he had to wonder, what is God's will for me in this? Why is this happening to me? Even if you have faith, love, and concern, we are humans, we are weak, and we lack. I too, I am sure, I wonder what I can do for my wife and my daughter. And there are many days when I am worried about my own behavior. At the couple's lunch, those who preceded us, as I heard their advice, I thought, I'm a bad husband. And at that time, we heard about an internet article about why I can't tell my complaints to my husband, best 10, by the wives. And so one woman said, on rest days, he does what he wants to do and puts a burden on me. Another said, when he's free, he's always playing a game. Another said, I can't get away from the feeling that I'm still single. Another says, once my child was born, my husband stayed in his own room and slept there in comfort. Another said, don't think of me as a unpaid house servant. Another said, when I get a cold and I'm feeling unwell, he will ask, and what about tonight's dinner? And there were two more. With respect to housework, he would say, if you ask me, I would do it. But having to ask every time, I don't want to do that. And another said, when he looks at the outside world, he acts as if he's helping with housework and child raising, and he tries to appeal for that. And I'm sure that there's a 34-year-old wife with her own complaints. Now, let's look at verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And so Mary, Joseph had decided to divorce Mary quietly, but probably he was still concerned and troubled by his decision. And at this time, he wondered, what is God's will for me? From now on, what can I do? What's the right thing for me? And at that time, like us, we don't know what we need to do, we don't know what God's will is, and we are troubled. A pastor named Shinseki wrote a book about why we don't know God's will. It said, Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and that is how they destroyed their relationship to God. This is what sin is, and this is why we don't know what God wills. As we have this sinful nature, we often think, I don't know God's will. But in there's another meaning that we don't say that's hidden. We are double-faced in this way. For example, even though we know God's will, we don't want to follow it. Even though we are seeking God's will, in fact, we're looking for the answer we hope for. We're afraid of God's will, and so we don't want to understand it. We make God's will something beyond our ability to understand. We can't trust God's will. Although we are pretending to seek it, in fact, we're not looking for God's will. And we have given up trying to understand God's will. These are what we are saying when we say we seek God's will in many cases. This is the kind of problems that we humans face, says Pastor Seki. For all these reasons, we are being somewhat dishonest with ourselves and with God when we say, I don't understand, I can't see God's will. This is what sin means to us. In the Bible, when we say a righteous person, that person is one who seeks God's will. Now, Joseph sought God's will, and as he was in his trouble, the angel came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Fear not." He said, "Take Mary as your wife, and that Mary will bear a child, whose name means the Lord saves." That is, Jesus. Do not fear. Accept her and make her your wife. He will save. And we know that these events were the work of the Holy Spirit leading to Jesus' birth. In our own righteousness, our own gentleness and love, we have our own plans, but God's plan is greater than all of those. If we respond in faith, God's plan will be realized through our work. Joseph's response in faith led to Jesus' birth and to the salvation of all people, the blessing of the world, and to peace on earth. Let us look at verses 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. When Joseph woke, he did as the angel commanded. He took Mary as his wife and gave the child the name Jesus. He was called a righteous man, but he had his weaknesses, and by the word he was changed. In this new conviction, he would move again in concordance with God's plan. Joseph, after that, according to God's plan, had many things. He would go from his home of Nazareth, taking Mary to Bethlehem for the census. On the way, she would give birth in a manger. The shepherds would come. So also would the Magi come from the east. And at that time, King Herod would order the slaughter of all children under the age of two. And Mary and Joseph would have to flee to Egypt. And then again, when Herod passed away, they would return to Nazareth. And so in this way, Joseph changed. Christmas happened. And because Joseph changed his original plan and accepted Mary, the prophecy was fulfilled. See the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. We have experienced this through Jesus. We wonder in our concern and adversity, why is this happening to me? What am I supposed to do? What does God want for me? What does God want with me? And as with Joseph, God has a plan for us. Joseph, in his trouble, heard the word of the angel, and in the same way, in our own deep adversity, we will encounter the word. If we open our hearts to it, if we open our hearts and accept God's word, and do it as he commands, we will be changed by God's word. And God's works will appear to us, and we'll experience our God called Emmanuel. If we change, God's plan can advance. As husbands, as wives, as parents, as children, as one young person, in each case, we have our roles, and we wonder what God's will is, what we are to do. We want to seek God's will. In marital relations, we often think we want to change the other, but it's we that should change. We should change ourselves. And if so, the partner will change, the environment will change. If we change, the world will change. 2,000 years ago at Christmas, Joseph changed. In this year's Christmas, how should we change? How should I change? If I change, what kind of Christmas can I enjoy? Joseph may not have had a traumatic life, but we too, in our own lives, have worries, conflicts. There are times when we don't know what to do or have painful times. And like Joseph, if we listen to God's voice and live according to God's will, then it's not just our decision, but we also have to act that way. Perhaps we are not so important, but the God Emmanuel is with us. This year at Christmas, as Joseph accepted Mary and Jesus, take that into our hearts. We too should welcome Jesus, and during this period of Advent, I want to all of us live in God's will. Let us look at Luke, where the hymn of the angels is written. Luke 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. After Joseph's difficulty, after he sought God's will, then Jesus was born. And this brought peace and blessing to the world at that Christmas. I would like to experience it, all of us together, in this Christmas of 2019. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, 2,000 years ago there was Christmas, and one man faced adversity. He had a terrible worry. But at the end of that, there was your word and your plan, and Jesus was born. God, this Christmas, as we prepare during Advent, we have our worries, we have our conflicts. But at the end of that, there is your plan and your blessing. In this season of Advent, we wonder, what is God's will? What does God want for us? What does He want us to do? How does He want us to change? We should welcome Jesus and live Advent in that way. And at this time of Christmas, those who act in your will bring us blessing. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.